If someone were to ask you, how would you describe the mission of Jesus? I'm sure there are many different answers that we could give. We could say that he came to reconcile sinners, or he came to reveal the face of the Father. He came to set captives free, to preach and to proclaim the good news. He came to teach us how to suffer and to make sense out of that suffering. And in some way, all these things are partly true, but they don't capture the full story. And so maybe it's not possible to capture the full story of the mission of Jesus in just one sentence. But we can say one thing, that he came to announce the kingdom of God. This was the message of John the Baptist as he prepared the way for Jesus. It's the first words of Jesus in St. Mark's gospel. And when Jesus sent out his apostles to go out and preach and to teach, they were sent out to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. And throughout the gospels, Jesus uses a series of parables to help us understand better what is the kingdom of heaven. Last week, we had the parable of the sower and the seeds. And next week, we will continue with more parables about the kingdom. And it's good to remember that parables are not just some cute little stories that are told to us at some second grade level so it's easy to understand. In the parables, Jesus did use common language and common examples and experiences. He did that to connect, but he used it as a launching pad to go deeper with his followers. And with a careful reading, we know that the meanings of these parables are not so easily understood. It's not so black and white. This is why, again today, the disciples had to ask for an explanation. The parables that Jesus uses almost always have an unexpected twist. So it takes some pondering, some reflecting. We need help to understand what Jesus is trying to teach us. And I think most of us, most of the time, glance over. We miss that unexpected twist. Maybe it's because we're not paying attention, or maybe because we're so far removed from those cultural references that we don't pick up on the surprise. Or maybe it's because some of us were just subjected to lazy teachers and preachers looking for an easy way out and just said, God is nice. But anyone who truly reads the gospel, anyone who spends any real time in prayer, quickly realizes there's more to it than just be nice. And so what is Jesus saying to us today with these three parables? What is the twist, the surprise that we encounter? To start with the mustard seed. Yes, this smallest of seed, that it does grow to be the largest. Maybe not the largest of trees, but the largest of bushes. And that's what happened with the church. It started off small and insignificant, almost unrecognizable. But now, today, it's present throughout the world. And those birds, those non-Jewish Christians, the non-Jewish believers, have come to rest in her branches. But the twist, the mustard seed is an invasive plant. It's actually a weed, and no responsible farmer would ever want it to grow in their garden. And then the parable of the yeast. This small amount. We don't need very much to have a significant impact in the baking of the bread. And the same goes for each one of us. And our meekness, and our humility, and the seemingly nothingness of our lives, we have a great potential to cause great impact in the lives of the people around us. But the twist, the surprise, yeast is actually unclean. Was not kosher. It was This is why the Passover was made with unleavened bread. They didn't want the yeast around. So in these first two examples, we have something that was originally thought of as small and bad and unwanted. But for some reason, Jesus uses that as an example for the kingdom. Why would he do that? What's his purpose? He's inviting us. He's inviting us to ponder, to consider, to reconsider our preconceived notions of how things are and how things should be. He's reminding us that things aren't always as simple as we would like to make them. Then now to the parable of the wheat and the weeds. That first unexpected turn is just the presence of the weeds. Because the man planted good seed. He was a responsible farmer, diligent in his duties. But we heard that the enemy came. So we're faced with the vindictiveness of the enemy who sneaks into our lives while we are asleep and plants bad seed. And then next twist, when he was asked if they should remove it, pull it up, he said no. Why would he say no? I mean, how much time and money do we spend today in our own yards and gardens trying to make sure there are no weeds? But yet Jesus has this man saying no. As he goes on to explain, it does make sense. He didn't want to risk ruining the good crop. So he told them to wait until the end, and then they can decide which to keep and which to throw away. So what is he telling us today? As Jesus explained the parables, it's clear he's talking not just about agriculture and farming. He's talking about the salvation of our souls. As we look around, no one is surprised to see the weeds and the wheat growing together. We just open our eyes and turn on the news or turn on our phones. The weeds are all around us, in the media and in our entertainment, in our sports and in our business, in all branches and levels of the government, and sadly, as we know, even in the church. But unlike the parable, we still desire Jesus to come in quickly and remove the weeds from our life. We want it to be just that simple. But we have to remember the mission of Jesus. He came to bring reconciliation, to preach freedom to sinners, and to bring us into new life. He came proclaiming the kingdom of God. And by doing this, he was revealing to us the face and the heart of the Father. We know that sin has separated us from the Father. In some way, we have forgotten him, forgotten what he is like. And so Jesus came to reintroduce us, to show us the face of the Father. And what Vatican II teaches us is that as Jesus reveals the Father, he's doing so much more. He's actually revealing to us what the human person is supposed to be like, which makes sense. If we as humans are created in the image of God, as we get to know God, we get to know ourselves. And perhaps that's why there is so much confusion these days about the human person. So much confusion even about basic biology. We're asking questions about when life begins and what is a man and what is a woman and which bathroom can I use? Maybe we're so confused because we have not yet come to a true, deep, intimate knowledge of the Father. Maybe we need some time to ponder, reading the scriptures, spending time in adoration. We need to pray to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. Because like the leaven and like the mustard seed, something small has been sown into our hearts. And the gift of baptism, the seeds of faith, hope, and love have been planted within us. And we have to be careful to care for the soil so that we produce good fruit and that we don't become weeds. Because this is the difference, is that our seeds can change. We know how easy it is to point to the weeds out there. And we do hope that Jesus will come and destroy all of our enemies. But what about the weeds in here? Are we just as anxious for Christ to come and to destroy us because there's weeds within? We hesitate a little, don't we? We don't want Christ to come and to destroy us because of the presence of the weeds. We are a little more understanding with ourselves than we are with the people around us. In the parable, Jesus urges us to be patient, asking us not to be so quick to judge. And this is what we heard in that first reading from the Book of Wisdom. Though you are the master of might, you judge with clemency, and with much lenience you govern us. For power, whenever you will, attends you. And you taught your people by these deeds that those who are just must also be kind. And then you gave your children good ground for hope that you would permit repentance for their sins. It's the same message that St. Peter, our first pope, gave us. In his second letter, chapter 3, he says, "The Lord does not delay his promise as some of us regard delay, but he's patient with you. He's patient with you, not wishing that any of you should ever perish, but that each one of you should come to repentance." How beautiful. Delayed judgment for the sake of repentance. This is the example we have when we look at the lives of so many saints throughout church's history. And any one of us who's gone through any type of conversion, we know it's true for our own lives. We know that in God's garden, seeds that begin as weeds can become wheat. They can produce abundant fruit. We can become saints. And this is what God is patiently waiting for. He wants you to produce good fruit. He wants you to become a saint. This is why Jesus came. This is why he came to preach the kingdom, to reveal the face of the Father. Jesus shows us the Father. He shows us why we were made. And he has given us ground for hope. And we know that the one who has hope lives differently. So let us live differently. Let us turn away from sin and live in the newness of life in the Holy Spirit so we can imitate Jesus and we can go out and we can sow good seeds in our community. And so on that final day, as we produce fruit, as Christ comes, we won't be bound and thrown into the fire, but we will be counted among the righteous. And with the righteous, we will shine like the sun. Amen.